the thing that I always did, like the side hustle that I always did, was blogging just for fun. And it was one day when I made the connection between blogging and applying my marketing interests onto a blog and monetizing it. That is when it was like a light bulb went on and I figured out a monetization plan for blogging and niche website development. I just realized that, well, this is going to be it. And that's what I went all in on.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Hustle to Freedom podcast, where, you know, I try to bring you guys the best guests on the interwebs and not just like full-blown entrepreneurs. You can listen to a million other podcasts and hear that. I want you to hear conversations with people that are either actively in their side hustle or they recently transitioned into doing this full time. And today we've got Miss Chelsea on the conversation with us. And which one of those, Chelsea, do you fall into? Still side hustle or is this the full-time gig now?
Oh, yes, it is the full-time gig now. About 4 years now, I sort of went all in and decided, nope, this, I had to drop my side hustles and go all in.
Yeah, so before you went all in, were you doing multiple things at one time? Or is this, and we'll get to what this is, but was this always your thing?
I definitely was balancing a bunch of different things, especially when I was in university. I was trying all different side hustles until I figured out what was really going to work for the long term.
Man, I'm so jealous because like I think back, I didn't get into this whole thing until I was 29. I think I'm 33 now. And I was like, man, I wish I would have had like this mindset when I was like early 20s. Like it would be so radically different, I think. I think it would be, but I always
think that too. About partying. I always look back. I mean, even though I had side hustles in my 20s, I still look back and think, man, if I had just been more focused, I would be so ahead now. But we, you know, hindsight is 2020. We can't all make it work, but eventually it would work out.
Of course. So let's backtrack a little bit. So I don't even want to get into what you're doing right now. Let's kind of go through the process right now. So you're in university. You told me before we started this, you're up in Vancouver, Canada, over on the West Coast. What types of things were you dabbling in while you were going through school?
Absolutely. So when I was in school, I was waitressing on the weekends, was paying my tuition and my rent, and I always had to figure out something on the side. So I started drop shipping. So I would buy things online. I would put things up on a website that I didn't actually have. I would buy it once someone purchased it, and then the supplier would then ship it out to the customer. I started doing that, and I did it for a number of years. I was also finding things, like finding furniture and fixing it up and flipping it and selling it on Craigslist. I was just really being creative with what I could do. And I was in school for marketing and digital media, so I was building websites. And I just really found a passion with the tech side of things. And when I was at my waitressing job, customers, they're always asking, so what do you do? Because when they see a young person working in a restaurant, they assume that's not their forever career. So people are always asking, what is it that you do? And I started saying, hey, well, I build websites. And 9 times out of 10, that person needed a website and I was able to get customers that way. So I started to build up my portfolio that way. And then as I got into a marketing career and I was working day jobs and corporate marketing and building out content plans for businesses and all that kind of stuff, I loved it, but something just didn't really sit right with me. I knew I wanted to go out on my own and really just be my own boss. Even though I loved the job, I didn't love going into an office and working for someone else. And the thing that I always did, like the side hustle that I always did, was blogging just for fun. And it was one day when I made the connection between blogging and applying my marketing interests onto a blog and monetizing it. That is when it was like a light bulb went on and I figured out that a monetization plan for blogging and niche website development, I just realized that, well, this is going to be it. And that's what I went all in on.
That's super cool. So one of the things you said there, it brought back some memories. So the first side hustle that I ever did was actually going to Goodwill, which I don't know if it's a thing in Canada or not, but going to Goodwill and I was like buying books and reselling them on like eBay and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
I quickly realized that the time that it took and the reward that you get out of it, that they weren't matching, at least not at the scale that I wanted to do it. So I quickly moved on to that. But when you said, you know, buying and flipping furniture, I'm sure the profits are a little bit better in that. But I just remember like going into Goodwill and spending like 2 hours like scanning books and then going home and listing them and then shipping them and making like $7.
Yeah, that's true. You know, but there's also those people who in those eBay days when we were doing it, you'd go and you'd find vintage clothing at the Goodwill or thrift stores. Mm-hmm. And then you could sell that for hundreds and hundreds of dollars on eBay. Yep. So yeah, there's definitely a few workarounds.
Yeah. So when you got into the website stuff, like what was the first, so you, when you say niche websites, can you break that down for people that might not be familiar with it? And how would a niche website make money? Or I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of ways, but what are some common ways?
Absolutely. So if you're focusing on a niche website, you're really making sure that it speaks about one type of topic. So it's not a lifestyle blog where you're talking about health and beauty and fitness and food and everything under the sun. You are just picking one topic. You're creating all of your content marketing plan. So all of the blog posts that you write and all of the promotions that you do are all about this one topic, and the types of products that you recommend and you sell from your website is all in that under that same umbrella that makes sense for that one topic. So by doing this, you're helping yourself by ensuring that the type of people who are coming into reading your blog posts and signing up to your email list, you know that they all like that one thing. So they could have tons and tons of interest, but you know that they're interested in that one thing that you blog about and you sell, so that it's a lot easier to sell them more things through your email list to help them with a specific pain point that they have. It just becomes a lot easier for you in your marketing plan for sure, but then also when it comes time to develop it, grow the traffic, create products like digital products to go with it. So there's many different ways that you can monetize a niche site. And the common ways would be ad revenue. So if a site is getting a good amount of traffic, you may work with an ad agency like AdSense, Mediavine, Ezoic, those sort of different places where they would place ads on your site and you earn when someone clicks. Digital products, that's one of my favorite ways. If you're creating ebooks or online courses or templates, something to go alongside your website that people can buy and use. And also affiliate marketing, of course, that's a favorite for so many people. Promoting affiliate products is a great way to earn money from your website as well. There's other ways to do it, but those are usually the top three that people would be focusing on. And when you're creating these websites, what I do is I build them, develop them, get them to a point where they're profitable, and then I sell them. So someone else can then take over and run it however they want. So I'm creating these like niche businesses, turnkey business in a box type things. And I started doing that for myself. And then people started asking, hey, I want to buy a site. How do you do this? Can I get into it? So that's when I created my online marketplace called blogsforsale.co. And that's where people can come and connect with investors and buy and sell niche websites, e-commerce sites, Amazon FBA businesses, apps, all that good stuff. And that is what I do full time now. So as a broker, a business broker, that's what I do. But I still create my own niche sites on the side as well, because I just love doing that.
That's awesome. So we'll get into the broker side of things in a few minutes, but I want to dive back into the niche, whatever, however you want to say it.
I say it the same, like both ways. It's like niches and the riches, or I just say niche, but
we'll dive back into those types of sites. There we go. So I'm selfishly going to ask some questions because like I told you right before we started recording, I've had a little side project that I've been dabbling in for the past probably about the past month, but when I got the idea and actually started framing it up. So I started wanting to build out my own little niche site, just something to do on the side. I always found it pretty fascinating and I always like a good challenge. So I kind of want to see if like I could do it. But I'm curious, like when you started your first sites, how'd you come up with like the idea? Like how did you get that niche topic to really dive into?
That's a great question. And I'm super curious to hear about this business that you've started up. The first one that I built for the purpose of selling, I'm not really sure how I decided on it other than it was just something that really mattered to me personally. So it was a cruelty-free beauty blog. And at the time, well, I always, you know, believe in no animal testing and keeping animals out of cosmetics and all that kind of stuff. So when I started from sort of a moral standpoint where I wanted to create something that could help make a difference. So I created this beauty blog, which reviewed cruelty-free products and promoted ethical brands and just sort of like shined a spotlight on companies that were against animal testing and that were creating alternative ways of creating clean beauty products. So I built up that blog for a year and I was just running it myself. I didn't have a team. And then I think it was about on its 1 year birthday, I decided to sell it. And I was able to sell it for $40,000. And that was like, woo, okay, I am in, you know.
I'm rich.
Yeah, exactly.
Champagne.
You know? Totally. It's so exciting when you sell your first business, you sell your first website. It's like, you'll never forget that day, the first one. And yeah, so when I pick topics now, I really just pick something that I have a personal interest in first, because no matter what you choose, even if it's a high traffic, you know, there's tons of great keywords that it's going to rank for. That's important. But if you personally don't have some sort of interest or skill set or experience related to that topic or to that niche, it's just going to be a lot harder for you to put the time in to grow it and care about it and monetize it and grow a community around it. If you can pick a topic that you can connect with personally, you're just going to have a lot easier time growing it, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll tell you what mine is. You know, some people are very secretive about it and understand why. But, you know, for me, it's just at this point, just a side project. So to your point about like caring about it and kind of being invested in it somehow, and I'm not too far into this project. So I'm going to use this as also some consulting session while I got you on here. So if this sounds like a horrible idea, just tell me and I'll jump ship and cut my losses before I'm too deep in it. So we actually, about 5 months ago, we bought a Bernie Doodle, which is a Bernese Mountain Dog and a Poodle mix.
Oh my gosh.
And we paid $5,500 for him, which for a lot of people makes me sound like I'm a complete idiot for paying that much for a dog. But we paid a lot of money for him and we didn't wait this long, but there's about a 2 year wait list for this breed. So when we picked him up, I was literally on the way home and it got me thinking. I'm like, so the people who buy these doodle breeds, because there's at least 60 different doodle breeds out there, which are like these hybrid, different various dogs bred with doodles or poodles. Mm-hmm. And so it got me thinking on the way home. I'm like, okay, so these are, most of the time, these are expensive dogs. So it's going to be higher income people that are purchasing them. Typically, higher income people shop online more. And so to me, I kind of like put those together. I'm like, this might make good sense for a affiliate site because the pet industry in itself is huge. And it's getting more and more online and things like PetSmart and places like that are slowly declining. So I started like putting everything together, did some research. There's some people in this niche already and they're crushing it. So that kind of validated the idea for me. Like I kind of did some traffic analysis on their site and they're getting a ton of traffic. And most of them were needed some work. Like I could go to this site immediately and say like, okay, this seems dated. It doesn't seem modern. Like, so there were some gaps already that I could see in the market. So that was the route I went. So I've started a site called The Doodle Club, and it is, I haven't even like officially launched it yet, but it is going to be about doodles, and I'm going to have an affiliate site in the pet niche.
That is awesome. Yeah, the pet niche is really, really popular for, great for affiliate marketing. And also really sought after too. I know I was talking about selling businesses. You're probably not thinking about selling it, but a niche like that is really sought after. We sold a pet niche site a couple months ago and it was like up a couple days later sold. People really jump on pet niches because there's so many different ways you can monetize it. Like you're saying, like with affiliate marketing, there's so many products like Amazon, books about dog training and, you know, so many products that come with pets. When you have a new puppy, it's like having a new baby. They come with so much gear, you know,
yeah,
like
there's exactly. So many ways. And so I started looking at all of these different monetization paths. And then I thought about the troubles I had even finding our dog. And because it wasn't like a centralized like database. So I hired a guy on Upwork and paid him a couple hundred bucks. And he spent, you know, the past 4 weeks like scavenging the internet, trying to find all the doodle breeders in the United States. So we created this database with like a couple thousand breeders. So that's going to be in the future, that'll be another monetization option, like selling premium slots and things like that within the database.
Yes, so, absolutely. Having a database of all the different breeders for that pet breed. That's great. And now your new dog can be the spokes dog on the Instagram and you know, drive traffic back to your website that way with cute dog pictures.
Yep. So that's the angle. But so like this whole thing is pretty fascinating to me. And I know there's some risk in it as well, because you can read about like all the different things that happen with Google and, you know, when they roll out updates and things like that. So have you ever had any trouble with any like horror stories with any of your sites, whether it be from like Google, like killing your organic or anything like that?
I haven't personally, but I kind of come at it from the standpoint that Google's algorithms are going to change and it's inevitable that something can go wrong. So that's why I always want to focus anything that I'm building and anyone that I'm working with, I always tell them like just diversify your traffic stream. So Google is great, always write with great SEO and make that a focus, but have something else as well. So something like Pinterest. So getting organic Pinterest traffic is really important too, because Pinterest is a huge, huge search engine. And if you can rank for high search keywords on Pinterest, you're laughing. You can get a lot of traffic. There's so many people that use Pinterest for so many different niches. And I always say, yeah, Google, Pinterest, and then also just getting yourself out there in other places too, like Quora. So going out and doing some manual posting where you're answering questions and linking back to your website, or going into Facebook groups and networking there and promoting your website there. You know, don't just count on Google, because yes, things can definitely go wrong. But yeah, I haven't had personal horror stories. I'm going to knock on wood now that I've said that. But I have actually had a client. She was selling a site with us. Everything was going great. And then something happened in the summer when Google made a change and her traffic dropped. And fortunately, she was able to be fine because she had that Pinterest traffic to fall back on. So her site was all right. But yeah, it can happen to anybody. And there's just you don't know when it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. So when it comes to like writing the content, so a lot of the people listening to this podcast still are working their day jobs. Their time is limited. And when we talk about, you know, starting a blog in a niche site, it sounds very attractive to people, but then they're like, well, like I suck at writing. I don't have a ton of time to write. Like, what do you tell people that like have those two objections?
Well, they're totally right. It takes so much time starting a blog from scratch and writing all of that content and growing a community takes so much time. It has to be a labor of passion and love where you actually enjoy doing that and you have the time to do that. But that is why I created this business, because I wanted to give people the opportunity to jump ahead and literally skip over that whole startup phase by being able to buy a niche website that is already filled with great content, already has social followers, an email list, customers, digital products, all of those things that would take years and years to create from scratch. You can just acquire it, put your name on it, and continue to run it as your own.
And what does I know it's going to vary greatly, but like what does a lower traffic type of niche site sell for?
Really, we look at what the site is earning. So non-monetized sites still sell, but they're not going to sell for thousands. They could sell for a couple hundred if the content is really good, if the site just isn't earning anything. But you'll really want to look for a site that is earning money monthly and it's been earning for a few months. So if buyers typically will pay up to 3 years times the monthly revenue of a site. So you can sort of factor in like when we have sites that are earning about $50 a month, they're usually selling for anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000. So if you're a listener and you're thinking that you're going to develop your own site to potentially sell, the more money that it can make, the more you will be able to sell it for. Having a lot of traffic is great. Of course, you want traffic as well, but when it comes down to what the buyer will pay, they're just really going to be looking at the numbers of how much it is earned.
Got it. And for those people that maybe are interested in building it from the ground up, do you see hiring out the writing as an option?
I think that's a great option. I would say to bring someone onto your team as a virtual assistant, someone that you can count on and trust, rather than going to somewhere like Fiverr. I know some people have had great experiences with Fiverr. Personally, I haven't for writers. So I always will go into a Facebook group where I'll send an email out to my email list and say, hey, I'm hiring for a writer. And I'll work with someone that I can, you know, really bump ideas around with. And that's been really good. So I think outsourcing any of the content, if you can, go for it. It's going to just save you so much time.
Yep. That's what I've done on some of the first articles, just to kind of have a kind of collection of things that I can kind of launch the site with, so to speak. I found somebody to write a really big, like, cornerstone piece of content for me. I found them on Upwork, and then I found somebody to write a series of articles for me off a site called Content Pit.
Well, that's great.
And that worked out pretty good. The article seemed pretty good quality. So yeah, I'll link those in the show notes if anybody is interested in that. But yeah, eventually I don't know if I want to continue down that path. I actually do enjoy writing the content. So
yeah.
I'll probably go down that route as well. In my free time. So a lot of the listeners already are going to have blogs and things like that, like out of the gate. Like, I guarantee there's a large percentage of the listeners that do. Like, what are some things that people often do wrong in the beginning when they're building out their niche site?
Well, I think that there's nothing really that you're going to do wrong as long as you are open to learning and growing and fixing things over time. I mean, especially if you're just starting, you're going to make quote unquote mistakes. You know, there's things like you should definitely spend some time to learn SEO, at least just the foundation, so that whatever you're writing, you're coming from a place of understanding keywords and where to put things on the page that makes sense, and using headers and images and alt tags and all that kind of stuff. If you can learn those basics, you will be off to a great start. Some mistakes could be like if you are putting PLR content on your site. So that's articles that you've purchased that tons of other people have purchased also. It's not original. If you're putting that on your site, that could hurt you for Google ranking. So always, always write your own or hire someone to write their own original content for any website that you're working on. And always including images too. I often see when people are just starting their first site, they really overlook visual images, but that is so important because when people land on your site, they don't want to just be greeted with a wall of text. You really have to break it up and use bullet points and just make it easy to scan, especially for people who are on mobile. So using a font that is big enough, like I like size 19 font. I feel like that is a big size, perfect for when you're on mobile, as many, many people are nowadays when they're viewing sites. And, you know, I'd also just say be open to putting yourself into different communities. So like I was mentioning about going into Facebook groups, going into Facebook groups and networking and making friends, that is really going to help you grow your site too. Because, you know, we're not an island when we're blogging. Really having a community and sharing each other's work and collaborating on each other's websites, guest posts, podcasts, YouTube channels, you know, all that kind of stuff. So much can stem from those relationships that you start building now.
Yeah. So you've mentioned a couple of things. And if somebody goes out there and they start researching on like what impacts the growth of their site the most, they're going to find 10 different articles that say 10 different things.
It's true.
In your opinion, like, what do you think are the biggest factors that affect the growth of a niche site?
One of the biggest ones is time. I feel many people expect instant results or they are working on their site for a month and they're getting frustrated because they're not seeing any traction yet, but a month is really no time at all. So I feel like if you just give yourself or allow yourself to understand that it's going to take time. And as long as you're getting up and every day you're doing a little bit of work each day and you're putting out fresh content and you just keep doing it, it will work out, but it's just not going to be instant. So the growth of your business is something that you need to put time into and allow for it to have time to really grow and get picked up. Because we know maybe Google's got you in the sandbox for 6 months, maybe even a year. They're not really ranking you yet. So just don't give up. And that is something that I see in different blogging communities, people getting frustrated after only 6 months and they want to throw in the towel, or their hosting is about to expire and they're just thinking, well, it didn't work out. I'm not a millionaire like I was promised. So I'm just going to let my hosting expire and throw in the towel. That's it. But they did not give themselves enough time to really actually give it a chance to be successful. So that's the biggest one I would say. Hang in there and keep on working on it and focus on your monetization. You can't just put an ad up in your sidebar and expect to make a bunch of affiliate sales or conversions. You really have to create content that specifically teaches people about the affiliate product that you are promoting. So you're really actually creating something like a mini course or a guide, a video explaining why you love or don't like a certain product. If you really want to make those sales, you have to give people the value and the understanding of what the product does. We can't just throw up a couple affiliate links and, you know, fingers crossed that someone will click. Yeah. We really have to put it in front of them, and not just on our websites, but once you create a blog post about an affiliate product, don't just hit publish and then walk away. Once you hit publish, that is when you really have to get to work. Take that link, go into those Facebook groups, the Facebook groups for the specific people where the people who would buy that product hang out. So not just a group that you are already in, but go and find a Facebook group specifically where those ideal customers hang out and put your blog post there in front of them. Go answer questions in Quora. Get on Clubhouse and go into rooms and talk about what it is that your blog post is about. Really just be active and putting your products and your offers in front of people. That is how you will be successful, and that is how you will grow over time.
Awesome. And what do you think about how YouTube can play into growing a blog? So just to give you some context, one of the things that I'm going to be doing is in some ways, there's all these different breeds of the dogs, like I mentioned, and creating almost voiceover type videos that have like B-roll clips playing in the background, explaining the breeds and things like that. That type of content actually gets a lot of traction on YouTube.
Yeah.
Do you see YouTube as a good tool to like also drive traffic to the blog as well?
I absolutely do. YouTube is another big search engine. You absolutely want your content there. You want to be ranking in search results there as well. And it's also just a great way to get people back to your website. Some people that read blogs, they don't hang out on YouTube. People who are on YouTube watching videos, they're not really interested in reading blogs, you know? So if you are just in all of these different places, it's certainly not going to hurt your business.
Yep, for sure. So appreciate you breaking that down for us. I want to talk more about the brokerage side of your revenue sources. Like, that had to be like scary getting into, because here you were, you know, you dabbled in these things in school, you started these niche sites, and then you sold your own site, and then you created this marketplace. Like, I feel like building a marketplace would be super challenging, because not only do you have to find the supply, but you also have to find the buyers. So talk to us about some of the challenges you ran into there.
For sure. Well, before I quit my job, I was working at a brokerage. I was in the marketing department and I was creating campaigns for the brokers. And it really was interesting to me what it was that they did. So I went on and I joined IBBA, which is International Business Broker Association. I got my training and I became a broker. So when I was creating the blogs for sale marketplace and the brokerage, I came at it with a business plan and I knew what I was getting into a little bit. So that side of it wasn't a challenge. And the nice thing too was by the time I launched this business, my other business at herpaperroot.com was about 2 years in, and that side of the company had about 20,000 email subscribers and quite a healthy community around it of content creators. So when I launched this business, finding the supply of people who wanted to sell their businesses certainly wasn't difficult. And I was able to connect with investors from people who I had worked with in selling my own websites, and people who recognized me from Flippa, where they had seen me selling listings there. And with the name Blogs for Sale, we do get a lot of traffic just from people who literally type into Google blogs for sale. So it was, you know, it was good. It just sort of started to take off pretty quickly. And I was just really careful and aware of making sure that I really had a lead magnet. I had a way to get people onto my email list, because they could come, they could see the listing and they could go away. But if they actually opted in, then I know I could contact them later and give them the weekly listings updates and that sort of thing. So that was something that I really focused on. And when we started to build it out and add more listings, I was really just focused on offering not just the bigger sites, but also starter sites too, because I really do value something in the starter sites that just gives people that head start. So maybe someone doesn't have $80,000 to invest in an established business yet, but they have $5,000, $10,000, and they just need that first little jump. They just need to get something that is up and rolling. It looks great. It has some content. Maybe it has a great ebook that's already selling, something like that. So they're not getting into the whole enchilada, but they're just getting that first step. So I was focused on both sides, the smaller businesses and the bigger ones. And somewhere in the middle, everything just kind of fell into place.
That's amazing. So if you don't mind sharing, or share what you are comfortable sharing, or I shouldn't say share, share what you are comfortable sharing. What type of revenue does a brokerage type of business do? Because you work off, what is it, commission?
I do. Yeah. So I work off of commission. Last year in 2020, in the pandemic, I helped 50 content creators sell their businesses, and I put over $490,000 US into their pockets from the successful sale of their business. And so we work on 20% commission. If the business is selling for over $100,000, then we will lower our commission to work out. But usually it's about 20%. Yeah. And yeah, so we also do co-broker deals with other brokers. So people who have their own listings and they need some more eyeballs, we work together. I have a network of investors and buyers. So there's different ways that you can collaborate with other people in the industry as well.
I imagine that the pandemic was in some ways a good thing for that business.
It was, yeah. A lot of people last year, as we know, they lost their jobs, or they realized that their employment is a little bit risky. You know, things can change with no warning. So a lot of people started looking for more online passive revenue streams. And when I say passive, you know, nothing is ever truly passive. Everything takes work. But once you get something up and rolling, it can become a source of passive income. So we've saw a lot of people looking into online businesses and a lot of interest for content sites and blogs, because they earn from interesting things like affiliate marketing and ad revenue and things that you can work on from anywhere, and you can make sales while you sleep.
Yeah, that's amazing. One thing that just popped in my head was regarding, you know, kind of looping back to building a niche site. What do you see as the best route to go as far as working with affiliates? Because the first one that people gravitate towards is, you know, the Amazon Associates program. Mm-hmm. Easy to get set up, wide array of products, et cetera. But the commissions are definitely lower. How does, like, what is your recommendation on when people start out their site? Is it to start with a program like that, or is it to diversify across a lot of others, or not start with Amazon, focus on others? What do you normally recommend there?
Yeah, personally, I never focus on Amazon because the commissions are so low. Amazon is like a nice to have because they sell everything. Mm-hmm. But if you work one-on-one with the brand, you can often, actually most of the time, your commissions will be bigger. So I would say don't ignore Amazon. You can have it on your site. It's easy to make a couple sales here and there. But for anything that you're promoting, if you can work with the brand directly or go through something like ShareASale, if they have their affiliate program there, you're just going to make more money. So that's something I would recommend. And also focusing on the types of products that you really want to promote. Is it really helping your customer with their specific pain points, or are you just trying to sell anything and everything under the sun? I think that if you're focusing on your niche site and the content yourself, also focus on how niche you can be with the types of products that you promote as well.
Awesome. Great advice. Now, you mentioned another business that you had. It sounds like a separate business, Her Paper Route. What is that?
Yeah, so that is my blog and podcast and where I have my online courses. And that's just where I share entrepreneurship, marketing, and growth hacking tips and advice and fun stuff like that. And that's really just a passion project where I get to blog and, you know, be creative and write and teach all of the nerdy tech and marketing things that I love so much.
That's cool. And so you've got a lot of different things going on. I imagine you have a decent sized team built out as well.
I do now. So I've brought on a few people now. Up until last year, I was doing it myself. And just as the brokerage was starting to really grow, I had to realize, no, I cannot do this. I don't want to do it as a solopreneur. It's, you know, it's become bigger than that. And so, yeah, that's an interesting thing, because when you allow yourself to be helped by a team and you let go of certain things and let go of that control, really great things can happen. You can master the art of delegation. And it's amazing when you look at all of the things you used to do and you realize that all of those things are on your different people on your team are happily doing those things. It is the best feeling. So I wish that I had got my team like a year or 2 years ago, but yeah, we're rocking it now.
Yeah. It's having a team that you can, you know, shift things over to is amazing and rapidly increases the pace in which you can get things done.
Yes.
You know, I personally always struggled with the thought that no one could do it as good as me.
Yeah.
And I'm always proven wrong with that. Always. Most of the time, if you hire good people that are skilled at what you hired them for, they can do it way better than you can.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cool. So if somebody wanted to learn more about you and, you know, get into the world of building out niche sites, and, you know, hopefully you'll tell me somewhere where I can go and learn some things as well. Where would that be at?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun. I really appreciate it. I would love to connect with anyone who's interested in learning about getting into website investing. My brokerage is at blogsforsale.co, and that is where you can come. You can take a look at what we have currently. We add new listings every week. If you're just thinking you might want to even sell the site that you're working on, swing by Blogs for Sale and I will give you a free business valuation. I can suggest what your site could potentially sell for and give you some advice for what to do. And if you just want to learn more about the business side of it, so how to start a website, how to develop it, how to monetize it, how to potentially sell it down the road, come on over to herpaperroute.com/courses. And that is where we have tons of free and premium training that you could take self-paced. And I would just love to chat with anyone on Instagram too. I'm at herpaperroute. Or at Blogs for Sale. If you just want to see the listings, I'm there too. So that's where I'm at.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing. And hopefully I didn't get too selfish and just ask questions that were of my interest. Hopefully the audience got some value as well. I know I did. So thank you so much, Chelsea, for coming on. And we'll talk soon.
Well, thank you. And best of luck with your new venture too.
Thank you. Hopefully I'm a millionaire next year. All right. See ya.
And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. Remember, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes below. And if you like this podcast and want me to keep bringing you great episodes each week, here are a few ways you can support the Hustle to Freedom podcast. First, take a screenshot of the podcast and send it to a friend who may like it. Second, I'm doing a drawing for a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal for every 5 iTunes reviews I receive. So if you want a chance to win, leave a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcast and send me an email at hello@gritandhustle.co. Detailed instructions on how to do this are in the show notes below. Third, take your side hustle to the next level by implementing a sales funnel to turn your passive website visitors into paying customers with ClickFunnels, the number one sales funnel software in the world. You can get a free trial by going to gritandhustle.co/profit. And fourth, if you're interested in podcasting also, which is the fastest growing content medium in the world, head over to gritandhustle.co/podcastingmadeeasy to enroll in my course now. Until next time, keep hustling, my friends.